Are you listening to me this morning? You're only saved because of the grace of God. That's all. Not because of who your mom and daddy was, not because of how much money there was in the bank, not because of the color of your skin or the side of the tracks you grew up on. You are saved by grace plus nothing. Amen. So if you're saved, you ought to shout about it. John chapter number 3, probably some of the most famous scripture in the Word of God. I'm not just going to read the one famous verse, John 3:16. I'm going to read quite a few verses this morning and share my burden with you. I believe with all my heart, somebody in this room needs to know Christ as their Savior. Somebody sitting in this church building today, if you don't get that thing settled today, you may never. Maybe somebody on the internet, I don't know. But the Lord certainly burdened my heart, and I've learned a long time ago that it's better just to do whatever He said, whatever He said, and whatever He wants. Amen. This morning I want you to look at John. Are you there? Say amen. Chapter number 3. The Bible said there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the commandment, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we're going to do our dead level best to be obedient unto thee, Father. And I pray, God, illuminate your word in the hearts of men and women this morning. May someone hear the glorious gospel and be gloriously saved this morning, Father. Help us for just a few minutes, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Little background on our story. This man by the name of Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. There's probably some speculations why he came at night. Most likely not to be seen. People do stuff in the dark because they want to get away with it or not be witnessed by somebody else. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. I think he snuck in probably. I think he probably spoke in whispered tones as he spoke to the Lord and he began to ask these questions. Why would he come at night? Why would he sneak? Why would he not want to be seen? Well, he was somebody. Nicodemus wasn't just an average everyday fella. He was somebody. Nicodemus was a very, very religious man. Probably more religious than all of us in this building put together. If you were to witness Nicodemus' day-to-day life, you would probably look at him, the most devout Christian in this room would probably look at Nicodemus' life and say, that guy is a fanatic. 101 laws minimum he had to keep every day of his life as a ruler, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. He was high up. And he came to this man in the middle of the night who said he was God's son, who all his friends wanted dead, who all his friends said was a blasphemer and an imposter, and even they called him a devil. But Nicodemus sees something or feels something or hears something in this man, Jesus, that causes him to come in the middle of the night and ask the most important question any man, woman, boy, or girl ever asked. How do I get it? How do I get it? How do I know that when I die, heaven will be my home? That's basically what he's asking the Lord. I want to show you a few things about Nicodemus this morning. Hey, by the way, you may be religious this morning. Your name may be on a church roll. You may have been dipped in the baptistry over and over and over again. But without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will bust hell wide open. Don't nobody preach on hell no more. Everybody likes to talk about heaven and how wonderful. And it is wonderful. I love to talk about heaven. But just as sure as there's a heaven, there's a hell. Nicodemus was a religious man. Probably went to church more than all of us. Probably lived real close to it. Spent his days and his evenings there in the synagogue. He was a religious man. I have heard in the preceding weeks how many, many who thought they were saved have gotten born again in Burlington, North Carolina. My buddy C.T. Townsend has been preaching. I believe they are entering. It's either their eighth or ninth week this week. Close to 400 people have been born again. We had a revival meeting back here in the spring. We had eight people in our church get saved, including our youth pastor's wife. People talk to me about that everywhere I go. Hey, we were watching that service when your youth pastor's wife got saved. People talk about that all. You're famous. People talk about that all over the country. Hey, listen, there is no shame. There is no shame in getting it right. You ain't got to sneak. You ain't got to come at midnight. You ain't got to come under the cloak of darkness. You can come right now this morning in the sight of God and everyone here, and we'll be thrilled that you did. It wouldn't bother me if Brother Charles got saved. If he did, I'd do some serious checking up. Wouldn't you? And Brother Freddie said, no, he's that sure. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, you need to know. I mean, you need to know this morning. You say, here he goes, another salvation message. You better thank God you got somebody to preach salvation to your lost family. You sure won't witness to them. Amen. I'll be glad to preach the gospel. That's what God called me to do, to preach the gospel. I want you to notice some things about Nicodemus, and I'll get you out of here. I want you to notice, first off, his concern. The concern of Nicodemus, this very, very religious man. He was so religious, yet he was concerned. What was he concerned about? He is concerned about his soul. He was so concerned that he broke all the rules and he came to Jesus in the middle of the night and said, hey, what must I do? What about me, Jesus? Is there hope for me? He was concerned. We are living in a concerned society, wouldn't you say? Cut on the television, cut on the radio. Everybody's concerned. They're concerned about their health. Every other commercial, some kind of pill make you feel better. They're concerned about aging. Oh, if we could invent something to stop the aging process, we'd pay this place off and build a brand new one. Oh, if we could somehow stop the crow's feet and stop the wrinkles and stop the hair from turning gray. Amen. Somebody asked me this week, how many times a month do you dye your hair? I have you know I'm a man. Let me say it again. I'm a man. I do not dye my hair. If it turns gray, it turns gray. If it falls out, I'll be one ugly individual. Uglier. I don't dye my hair. But boy, if we could invent something to stop the graying process. I got some men looking squeamish. You done washed that gray right out of your hair, ain't you? Amen. If we could stop the aging process, people are concerned about that. People are concerned about fat. Oh, yeah. Man, if you could tell somebody how to lose weight, I can. Quit eating. Hold up on the Big Macs. People concerned about their weight. We were in Foley, Gulf Shores, Alabama. Was it last week, Brother Freddie? Week before last? Whenever. We was in Alabama. And Levi went with me. My son, he's 28. Yeah, 28 years old. He's on a... somebody might be watching on the internet. Don't tell him. He's on a diet. He's on a diet. I went to pick him up at his house, Brother Jason, and he put a cooler in my truck. I said, what you got in that cooler? He said, my food. He brung his own food. We're going to the beach, man. They got shrimp on every corner. Somebody help me right there. Everywhere you turn, fresh seafood, fresh seafood. I'd say, boy, let's stop right there and eat. I can't eat that. And at the beginning, I was kind of courteous. Well, what can you eat? The salad bar at Ruby Tuesdays. They got shrimp across the road. Yeah, amen. Finally, I got to the point where I said, stick your head in your cooler. I'm going to get a fish taco. I ain't on no diet. Amen. Unless it's a seafood diet, I eat everything I see. People are concerned about their weight. They're concerned about their health. People are concerned about the government. I'm so sick of hearing about the election. Amen. And you ought to vote. That's part of your citizenship. That's part of your duty. As an American, you ought to vote. Let me say it again. You ought to vote. But I'm tired of hearing it. If I cut the television on one more time and I see her face. Or his, I'm going to kick a hole in it. You say, who are you talking about? There's only one her. And there's two his, and both them, I don't like the looks of them either. Y'all all right? People concerned. Oh, if this election doesn't go our way. What if it don't? What if it don't? Are we just going to quit living? What if a socialist is elected? What if a baby murderer is elected? Are you okay? We've lived through it before. We'll live through it again. Where is your concern this morning? Everybody's all up in the air about this, that, and the other. Nicodemus was concerned, but he was concerned about the most important concern known to man, where he would spend eternity. Nicodemus said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And then Jesus began to answer him, and Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus is concerned not just about tomorrow and not just about today, but he's concerned about eternity. Do you understand when we die? That's not the end. Somebody asked me the other day, their dog got ran over And I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings this morning. But their dog got ran over and they asked me, this was an adult, a grown human being. Is my dog in heaven? What do you do? I said, nope. Please tell me my doggie's in heaven. I said, where'd you put your doggie? We buried her in the backyard. I said, that's where your doggie's at? I ain't gaining no points this morning. Jesus didn't die for dogs. Amen. He died for me and he died for you. People concerned about where they're going to spend eternity. Somebody ought to get bothered this morning. You said, preacher, are you preaching right at me? If that's who you are, I am. The Lord changed my entire message this morning for you. He cared enough to come from heaven and speak to my heart and say, go this way. So I'm just going to go that way. And if you leave lost, that'll be on your hands. Are you concerned? Are you concerned? I appreciate Brother Freddie's honesty. I was joking a while ago and said if Brother Charles Dyer got saved, I'd check up. And I looked at Brother Freddie and I said, wouldn't you? And he said, nope. Nope. You know what that is? That's not concern, that's confidence. Oh, he must be a really good Christian. No, he's not. Then I'm not being derogatory, and he knows that. Ain't none of us all that great. Amen. I know you, and you know me. Ain't none of us all that. We're not going to win Saint of the Year award. But I'm glad we can go beyond concern and have confidence in the blessed gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. How many got some confidence this morning? This society's talking about self-confidence. I have very little of that. But I got a whole lot, Big John, of God confidence. I'm confident in a God who can leave heaven, come to earth, take on the form of a man, go to Calvary, bleed and die, be put in the ground, and 3 days later come up. I'm confident of this very thing. That's what Paul said. I'm confident. I wonder how many have gone beyond concern. Before you get confident, you're going to have to get concerned. You're going to have to get concerned about your soul. You know why you spend so much time talking about other people on Twitter face?
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Do you know why? Do you know why? Because it takes the focus off of you. And you don't have to think about you. And you don't think I have to think about your sin and your deeds and your faults. And you can put it all on somebody else. Hey, we don't need to be concerned about our neighbor. We need to say, it's me, it's me. Oh, Lord. Concerned. A long time since I've seen somebody come and say, hey, I'm worried about myself. Everybody's worried about everybody else. Would you pray for this one? Would you pray for that one? It's not often you see somebody who comes and says, pray for me. I'm glad my boot building buddy in Montana, Cody, got concerned about himself Monday night. Brother Tony Shirley got to take the Bible and lead him to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Thank God he got concerned about himself. Hey, somebody, is anybody concerned this morning? Am I more concerned about your eternity than you are? I've got mine settled. I'm confident. I am confident. I know that I'm saved. I don't know a whole lot, but I know I'm saved. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know I'm saved. I don't know what the weather's going to be. I got an app on my phone and I can look at it. But it still may be totally opposite from what the weatherman said. I don't know. But I do know that I'm saved. How many of you know you're saved? Talk to me. You know how you got saved? You got concerned. I didn't get saved because I wanted somebody else to go to heaven. I got saved because I wanted me to go to heaven. Actually, I got saved because I didn't want me to go to hell. We notice Nicodemus, his concern. That's why he came to Jesus. That's what brought him. Some of you are here this morning over or out of concern. I don't know how many times over the years, Brother Jason, we've had somebody say, our marriage was in the toilet. And we decided we would give church a chance. Why not? You've tried everything else. We're going to give Jesus a shot. No telling how many came here and got born again. They came looking for hope for a marriage, but they found hope for eternity. Amen. Some of you are here this morning out of concern. Maybe God can help. Maybe He can. Just maybe He can. I can go beyond that and I can guarantee He can. He has and He will. But somebody's going to have to get concerned enough. He was so concerned that He came. He is so concerned that He came. Now listen to me. I believe people can get saved in the pew right there where you are. I believe you can get saved going down the road. Brother Jerry Clausen back there preaching to your children this morning. Brother Jerry pulled off on the side of the interstate on his way home from work, pulled off the side of I-20, took a gospel tract out of his pocket that Brother Eric Knight had gave him and read that gospel tract and prayed the prayer on the side of I-20 and got saved. I believe you can get saved right there where you are. But I like it when people are concerned enough that they come. I like it when they're concerned enough that they don't care what anybody thinks. They don't care whether or not they're embarrassed. They don't care whether or not, well, everybody thinks I'm already saved. You get concerned enough, you'll come. You'll come. When you see yourself burning in hell for eternity, you'll get concerned. And that's where Nicodemus was. He was concerned, but then he brought his concern to Jesus. And you know what Jesus did? You know what He did with His concern? He gave him a challenge. The Lord challenged him, verse number 2. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus comes with his concern and said, "Lord, what about me? What do I do?" And Jesus said, "You're going to have to get born again. You want to go to heaven when you die? Here's a challenge." You know what I'm doing this morning? I'm challenging you. I'm calling you out, as the old cowboys would say. I'm calling you out. What are you calling me out to? I'm challenging you to search your soul, know whether or not you're born again, and if not, get it settled today. Is that all right? Have a little bit of a challenge going on this morning. We like to challenge everybody to everything. Brother Tony and I, Brother Tony is one of my dearest friends. We went trout fishing on Tuesday. Trout fishing, private pond. You can't get in there unless you know somebody. I'm glad I know somebody. We go up there to that place we go. The men go camping. Rock Creek, is that the name of it? And we catch them little trout. Not me and Brother Tony. In Montana, they trout. About like that. And the whole time we fishing, Tony's hollered, "I'm going to beat you. I'm going to wear you out. I'm going to catch more. I'm going to catch bigger." You know what he's doing? He's challenging me to wax him. And I did. Now, if you hear him, he's probably preaching in North Carolina this morning, telling the same story with an opposite ending. And I don't care what he says. My fish was bigger. Amen. Challenge. I'm challenging you this morning to know whether or not you're saved. I'm challenging myself this morning to know whether or not I'm saved. Somebody said, "Preacher, can you really know?" According to this, you can. If you believe Jesus, you can. John said, "I wrote this stuff so that you would know that you have eternal life." There was a challenge set before Nicodemus. And I'm glad Nicodemus didn't do what a lot of you may do this morning. He didn't take the challenge and leave. He wasn't just challenged and said, "Well, I just can't believe that," and left. He was concerned enough about himself that he came. And when he came, he was confronted. He was confronted. He was challenged and he was confronted. I want to confront you this. You ever been confronted? It's a little nerve-wracking, isn't it? You ever had a police officer pull you over? Come on, talk to me. You know what they do? They confront you about what you were doing wrong. My daughter Ashley was going down the road the other day and her know-it-all 6 years old, Jonah, 6 years old from the back seat, Mama, don't you think you speeding a little bit? Remember the last time you was speeding? He confronted her. And she looked down at the speedometer and had to say, well, yep, I guess I am. When we get confronted, we're confronted about something that we're doing that isn't right. Nicodemus was confronted with Nicodemus, a religious ruler. He spent his life in judgment over everybody else. Oh, there's some of y'all here this morning, ain't you? You've already been judging as you got in this morning. You're judging what somebody wore. You're judging how somebody sang. You're judging somebody's child. You're judging somebody's wife. You're judging somebody's husband. Hey, I want to confront you with you. With you. Let me tell you something. I love you. I love my church. I've stayed here 23 years because I love you. And this is where God would have me. But there's one here this morning I care about more than all of you put together. You looking at him. If I'm confronted with my salvation, I'm going to be sure I got it. I'm your pastor. Could a pastor get saved? Yes, he's lost. Now, I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation. By the way, if you really got it, I can't talk you out of it, no how. Just like Brother Freddie a while ago. I mean, he didn't even waste a second. Would you check up? Nope. That sounds pretty confident, don't it? Almost cocky. But cocky would be confidence in Freddie, which he has very little. The cockiness and the confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He was concerned. He was challenged. He was confronted. Now listen, Nicodemus is no different than anybody else. He was concerned. He was challenged. He was confronted. But like many people, he was confused. You know what he said? Brother Freddie, he looked at the Lord and he said, how can this be? Honest, he wasn't being judgmental. He wasn't questioning God. He just didn't know. Ignorance is okay if you don't know. But there's no excuse to stay ignorant when the answer is there. Nicodemus is standing in the face of the giver of life. He is looking salvation in the eye. And he asks a valid question. How can this be? Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? I mean, that kind of terminology had never been spoken before. This is the first time in history as somebody looked at a man and said, you got to get born again. You must be born again. And Nicodemus is like, man, I'm concerned about myself, but I don't know how to do that. Jesus takes this confrontation and this challenge, and he looks at this confused man. And in verses 14 down through 16, you know what he does? He begins to comfort Nicodemus with his words. Nicodemus said, I don't understand. How can it be? And Jesus said, well, Nicodemus, it's like this. And he begins to explain. And he comes all the way down to verse number 16. He says, you see, Nicodemus, God so loved you that he gave me his only begotten son. That if you'll believe on me, Nicodemus, you'll have everlasting life. That's how you're born again. You're born again of the Spirit. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit, I'm glad. When I got regenerated, when I got born again, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, that which was dead was made alive. Hey, the Spirit of God lives in me. I believe with all my heart, Nicodemus left here a saved man. I believe with all my heart, he left no longer concerned about his soul. He left no longer confronted. He left no longer challenged. He left no longer confused. I wish I could explain salvation. I wish I could make it so simple. Oh, it's just, here it is. But there's no way to really explain it. It must be experienced. It must be felt. Somebody said, oh, you can't feel salvation. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. There's others that go so far away from afraid they'll be undoctrinal that they say you can't base your salvation on a feeling. I understand that. But thank God I do base it on the Word of God, because I don't always feel saved. But I'm glad days like today, when they start singing God's been good, I feel saved. Amen. April, could you feel it? Whoo! There was something there that wasn't there before. Religious? Well, she's a youth pastor's wife. How dare you be a youth pastor's wife and not saved? How dare you? You're fired. How dare you be a leader in the church and not even be saved? No. How dare you stay that way? How dare you stay that way? There's nothing in the world I'd rather my youth pastor's wife do than say, preacher, I just got born again. There is nothing in the world I'd rather an assistant pastor or a mother or a deacon. It doesn't matter who you are. Get it settled this morning. Nicodemus was confused. He was confronted. He was concerned. He was challenged. He was comforted. But then he was confident. You know what he was confident in? Who he's talking to. There was something he said. And there's something about the way he said it that changed this man's life forever. I wonder if somebody's concerned this morning. Brother Todd, y'all come and get us a song. I don't know where Brother Todd... Oh, there he is. Y'all get us a song this morning. Let's stand our feet all over the house. Would somebody like Nicodemus be concerned enough to come? Come right here to an old-fashioned altar. I'm not trying to get you to join the church. I'm not trying to get somebody in the baptistry. I'm not trying to get an offering out of you. I just want you to know. I want you to leave confident this morning that if you died today, heaven would be your home. Now, I've done my best to obey the Lord. I honestly, my wife is sitting right there, and she probably wouldn't lie for me. But I told her verbatim last night what I was preaching this morning. I've been excited about it all week. I said, honey, this is what I'm preaching tomorrow. She gets to hear it twice. What I just did is nothing in comparison to what I told her. Totally different direction, totally opposite. I'm telling you, the Lord changed my message this morning. And you know who He changed it for. Are you concerned about you? I've done my best not to be arrogant or harsh, but to confront you with the gospel, to confront you with heaven or hell. It's your choice. Somebody said, well, what if I can't live it? You can't. None of us can. Matter of fact, none of us do. We make mistakes and fail every single day of our life. But I'm glad greater is He that is in me. You see, that's why there's forgiveness. So when we mess up, we can say, Lord, I messed up. And He forgives us over and over and over. You may be like Miss April. You might have been in church for a long time. And you had a head knowledge about Jesus. You could tell somebody else about Jesus, but you didn't have a heart knowledge. Oh, why don't you get that settled this morning? Get that thing settled about your soul. If you died right now, would heaven be your home? Are you sure? Can you answer as quickly as Brother Freddie did? Just like that. Can you answer it that fast? You know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. Let's bow our heads all over this house. Nobody looking around this morning. If you can honestly, before God, have you ever had people say, as God is my witness,
as God is your witness this morning, if you can honestly say, preacher, I know if I fell dead right now, heaven would be my home. There's no doubt in my mind. Would you slip up your hand? Hands all over this building. I know, preacher, I know that I'm saved. Thank you so much. Hands all over this building. You can put them down. As I looked at all the hands go up this morning, as sadly as I hate to say it, there were some that didn't raise. If you're here this morning, you're not sure. Brother Eddie, I'm not 100% sure if I died right now, heaven would be my home. Would you pray for me? I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you. I don't drag people to the altar. I just want to pray for you. If you're not sure about where you'll spend eternity, let me pray for you. Would you slip up your hand? You just shoot it up and put it right back down. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody else, just stick your hand up. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not 100% sure. I'm not 100% sure if I died right now, heaven would be my home. Just please remember me when you pray. How about it? How about a church member? What about a church member? Hey, I belong to the church. Of course I'm going to heaven when I die. No, church membership has nothing to do with it. It's about a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you again. Slip up your hand. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. I'd like to get that settled in my heart. Just pray for me. Would you? Just slip up your hand. Thank you so much this morning. God bless you, hon. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, you've seen every hand. You know every heart. Lord, I'm glad like Nicodemus, we can come. And we can accept that challenge. And we can leave who is our Savior. Father, have your way in this altar call. Don't let anybody leave in doubt, in fear of where they'll spend eternity. Help them, dear Lord, to get that thing settled this morning. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God dealing with your heart, won't you come right now? You raised your hand, said, pray for me. I'm not sure. Come get it settled today. Come get it settled today. Maybe the Lord, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but the Lord confronted you about something in your life this morning. Why don't you come confess that thing before the Lord while they sing, let's mind God. Come on, come find you a place in this altar. Let's get it settled this morning. That you can mess up and lose your salvation. How do you sleep at night if you believe that? I can't keep what I don't possess. He gave it to me. It's His. My salvation belongs to Him. And if God can't keep me, nobody can. Thank God for the grace and the peace that passes all understanding. I'm glad I can know. I'm glad I can know. That song says he's coming.